Okay, the way say today's daf is daf Samach Hey. We're holding the final line on Samach Dalet Amid Beis, where the Gemara told us a story about Rav Yehuda. Shodale Kurbona Li Avidrona V'yoyim Edom. What is the Gemara talking about? Suggest a 1 second reminder of what we learned at the end of yesterday's daf. You'll recall the Gemara spoke about that there's a special individual called a Ger Toishav. He's neither a Yid nor an Oyved Kechovim. He's in between, somewhere in between. What's the definition of a Ger Toishav? We had a three-way machloikis. According to the first man, the Yamar, he's Mekabel Olav Bifnei Gimel Chaverim. He goes in front of a Bezdin, and he's Mekabel Shaloi Lavoid Avoid Azor. That was Remeir. That's Samach Dalet Amid Beis in the middle of the Amid. And then we had the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan said, Kosher Kibel Olav Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noyach. He has to Mekabel the seven Mitzvah Bnei Noyach. Acheirim Moimrim, he takes upon himself 612 of the 613 mitzvahs. The only mitzvah that he's not Mekayim is the Isser of Nevelas. Where does the Gemara take this from? Because of the fact that it says, Leisoicho Kol Nevela, La Ger Asher B'Sherecha Tetnena Ba'Chola Oy Mocha Lenachri. The ger that we're talking about in the Pasuk is a ger toishav. It says in the Pasuk that you're allowed to go and feed him. Like ger asher b'sherecha titnena, give him the nevela v'achol and he can eat it. How can he eat it? Because he's only makabel the 612 mitzvahs and not the mitzvah of nevela. Kuli alma moide, all three agree that a ger toishav says, I'm not going to go and do any more avodah zarah. So, with that background, let's see the story. The Gemara tells us that Rav Yehuda shodale kurbana. Kurbana, says Rashi, means chura. Chura means a present. He sent a present, top of Samach Hei Omer Aleph, la'avidrona. Avidrona was the name of a goy. And he sent it to him b'yoyim Edom on the day of their holidays. Now, I'm sure you're all thinking to yourself, on the day of their holidays, didn't we learn the beginning of the Masechta already 3 days before? You're not allowed to do any masa umatan, and certainly not to give him a present, because if you give him a present, he's going to go and be mode and mishtachve to his avodah zarah on the day of his holiday. You can't do something like that. Said Omar, said Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem with avodrana. Fortunately, unfortunately, He's no longer from. He's off the derech. Yadana beidle polach labayitz kechavim. Even though he happens to be a goy, a pagan goy, however, he never goes to mass on Sunday. He no longer throws stones at the Markulius. He no longer defecates in the Baal Pa'ar. He goes now to a regular bathroom, etc., etc. And so therefore, he's no longer a from a goy. And when I'm going to go and give him a present now, he's not going to go into the church and he's not going to go and thank his God because he doesn't believe in all these gods. In other words, he's a modern day atheist, if you will. And so therefore, no problem. The obvious question is, so why did Rav Yehuda bother sending him a present b'yom Edom in the first place? So Rabbi Yankov Emden says in the back of the Gemara that it would appear that this is a holiday similar to our New Year's Day, which most of us consider to be just a secular holiday. Among the goyim, this happens to be, among the religious goyim, this happens to be a religious holiday. In the Haim, they used to call it Sylvester or San Sylvester, and they used to consider it to be almost as holy as their Kratzmach, but today it's become a secular holiday. So even those people that are secular, the beginning of the year, it's a good omen. They go and get a present, and they feel good. It's like a Lahavda, like a simon toiv for the beginning of the year. We have our simonim toiv in Man Rosh Hashanah that we go and eat special items and we make Yerutzayim. So for there too, Lahavda, this is a simon toiv to go and give them a present on their New Year's Day. So nothing to worry about in terms of the Yoim Edom Isurim that we had at the beginning of the Masechta. But Rav Yosef said, Omle Rav Yosef Atanya, but I have a problem. In the Braisa we learned yesterday, that we just quoted a minute ago, Ezeo Ger Toishev, what's the definition of a Ger Toishev? Meaning a person that no longer does Avodah Zarah. He's kosher kibbal olav afnei gimel chaveirim. He's got to do it in front of a bezdin shloi lavet avodah zarechovim. Did this avodrona go in front of a bezdin and take upon himself not to do Avodah Zarah? The presumption is no. That being the case, he's not a Ger Toishev. if he's not a ger toishiv, isn't he like a regular pagan guy? So manishdana, where do you come up with Rav Yehuda? Just because you're saying he's no longer from, he's no longer religious, he doesn't go to his churches. Who cares if he didn't make a Kabbalah in front of a bezin shloilavet a voice rechavim? Isn't he like any other guy? Everything Gemara Kitanya hil hach yoisoi. That three one machloikis that we quoted before, that gives a person a title of ger toishav, is for purposes of lahach yoisoi. What does it mean lahach yoisoi? Because it says in the pusik ger betoishav b'chai behem, and the Gemara learns from that there's a mitzvah to go and support your local ger toishavs. If you have a ger toishav in your neighborhood who is poor and needs alms, he needs food, he needs money, just like you have a mitzvah of tzedakah to your fellow Jew, so you have a mitzvah also to mechayu your fellow ger toishav. Ah, what's the definition of a ger toishav? That he went and took upon himself no longer to do avodah zarah in front of a bezin. However, even if you don't take upon yourself in front of a bezin, if you refrain from doing avodah zarah, you're no longer called an oved kechavim. And the dinim of the Yoim Edom that we had at the beginning of the Masechta do not apply. So he doesn't become he's not exalted to the position of a ger toishav, but lamaisi is not a from a goy. If you remember when we learned the beginning of the Masechta, we had this question, how come today we are no longer concerned about these isurim? When it comes 3 days before Kratzmach or whatever holidays, we're not concerned. So of course there's one answer, that Christianity is not a pagan religion, but even if you assume that it was another religion, the Toisis and the other Mefarshim say, we had this at the beginning of the Masechta, she'enim adukim bay. They don't really believe in it, or they don't really observe it with any great depth or sincerity. If they do it, it's, you know, kmitzis anoshim ulumada. They go through the motions, but there's really no depth of sincerity in their allegiance to these avodah zarahs.
They try to copy us.
Mm-hmm.
They blow horns, they drink some wine, and they make resolutions.
Aha. And on Palm Sunday, they take the lulav. They forgot the other three meaning, but at least they take lulavim. Good. Shkoyach for that very witty comment. And we go on weiter. Ay, v'omer rabba barbachona omrav yoichanan, ger toishav, she'obru olav yudbeis chodesh v'loy mol, harihu kimin. What Rabbi Bachanan, Rabbi Yochanan says is, you cannot stay as a ger toishev forever. A ger toishev, after he has taken upon himself, like one of these 3 days, either not to do avodah zarah, or mekabel shem mitzvah b'nei noyach, or the 612 out of the 613 mitzvahs, but within a year, he has to go and mala. Other mala means to go and have a bris milah. And if he doesn't have a bris milah, then he's like a min ba'ayv de kechavim. In other words, he's not just like a regular goy. He's like a min among the goyim. Min is considered to be much, much worse. We've already many times said that min, according to some svarim, is Rosh Tevis. Me anshe yeshu notri, or mitalmide yeshu notri. If it's mitalmide, means one of the gospels, such as Mark and Matthew and Luke and all those wonderful guys. Anyway, the point is that if he's a ger toishev and 12 months have gone by and he's not had a bris, then it's worse. It's not just oiv v'chavim. He's like, I'm in oiv v'chavim. Remember Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta, I think it was Avchavav, said what it means, a min, it means a koimer. Koimer we usually define as a galach. It's Rashi, top of Chavav on the day, top Rashi, minim koimrim lavoid v'chavim, a koimer, a galach, a priest who's in charge, a pastor. That's the definition. So in other words, it's even worse. Ezoi Bazoi, this fellow, Abedron, apparently did not have a bris, so isn't he a bad guy, so to speak? Everyone, no. Hasam kigon shekibel olav lamul v'loy mol. When Rabbi Yochanan said that a ger toishev has to have a bris within 12 months, that's if he took upon himself to have a bris. In other words, he comes in front of the bezin, he says, I want to have the exalted status of a ger toishev, I swear no longer to do avodah zarah, and I'm going to have a bris within a year. That's great. But if a year passes and he doesn't, then I'm worried that he's choyze lesuroi, that not only is he no longer ready, willing, and able to become ashtikal yid, but Chas V'Shalom Fakert, that he has fallen away and he is worse than your regular Oyv Chavim. He's now like a min of the Oyv Chavim. That's only if he took upon himself Lamut. One second. In our case, Avidrona never agreed to have a bris, so the fact that he did not have a bris is Leimal of Leimoyrid. No better, no worse than anybody else. Yes, Ariel, do you have a question?
Qualify as a kedushah, he has to make the promise to have a bris within a year, or he could be definitely a kedushah just by renouncing over that covering.
That's a very, very good question. According to this Mandi Omar that says you only have to renounce Ovdei Kochavim, the Gemara in the Hava Mina assumed that coupled with that, he also has to take upon himself that he's going to obligate himself to have a bris within a year. And therefore the Gemara asks, but he didn't have a bris within a year, so therefore, quote unquote, he's a bad guy. Says Gemara, no, that's only if he committed himself. If he didn't commit himself, he doesn't have to. You can be a ger toshav without having a bris. You can be a ger toshav for the next 50 years, no problem.
So,
yes.
He committed himself, and he didn't do it, do we say, on Kerry Fee?
I'm assuming that was a very witty comment, but I can't hear you. You're a little bit, there was some static there.
And if the knee means his, finish.
Okay, I agree with whatever you said. It's hard to understand you. There's static. So let's continue on to the next story. Rava amtile kurban lebar sheishach b'yomerim. Now this gemara that we're going to learn now, Rabbi Isai, is one of the most unusual gemaras that you're going to find throughout Shas. Not that I am a baki b'shas, but every time I come a gemara like this, you can pull your hair out. It's hard to understand, hard to believe. So Gemara tells us, Rava amti le kurban al bar sheishach b'yamedim. Rava did the same thing as Rav Yehuda, and he brought a present to bar sheishach on his holiday. Once again, Rava was concerned that somebody will challenge him and say, how can you go and give a present to a goy on Yom Edom, the first Mishnah in our Masechta? Amr yadana beitalei polach l'avodas chachav. I know that he's not a frima. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't believe in avodah zarah. He's renounced avodah zarah. Gunish mit gunish, I can give him a present. Ozol ashkechei. So now when Rava comes into his house, he sees the Yosef ad savore. He's sitting up to his neck. Bevarda. Rashi says, bemerchet shalvarodim. That means in a large bathtub, full of water, obviously, and verid means that they had rose petals on the top of the water. The kaimon zoinois arumois kameh. And standing around him there in the bathhouse, in the chwais, there were women that were not appropriately dressed, who were professional zoinois. In English, it's harlots. And they were standing there, b'yoyim edom of this bar sheshach. As you can see, Egvin Agroi Setzadik, this fellow, is Omalei. So Bar Sheshach now starts to make trouble for Rava. He tries to mock Rava, and he says to him, "Islechu ki aygavna the Alma Diosi. I know you Jews believe in Olam Haba. Do you have any of this type of pleasure that I'm having on this world? Do you have this type of pleasure on the next world?" So Rava answered, "Omalei didon adifa tvei mehai. Our reward in the next world is much better than your reward on this world." Amalei, tvei mehai mihava. How could anything be greater than the pleasures that I'm having now? Amalei, atun ika alaychu emes de malchusa. After everything is said and done, you still have the emes hamalchus. You're still afraid of the king of the government. Anan, lo osid lovoi, lo tehevi alon emes de malchusa. We're going to be totally free and independent. And so therefore, in that respect, our Olam Haba is much greater than your Olam Hazeh. Amalei, Sabar Sheshach now responded, "Ha, Anam Nia, my Emes of the Malchus Ikalai. What Emes of the Malchus do I have? I'm living a life of freedom and independence, and nothing bothers me. There's no government oppression. I don't know what you're talking about." Guess what? Adi Yasvi, as they're still standing there at that occasion, it didn't take more than a minute. Asahu Pristika de Malka, an official of the Melech, walked in. And Amalei, "Come, get out of here. Get out of the bathhouse. The Kaboilach Malka, The king needs you right now. Right now. Wow. Can you imagine? A minute ago he said, what type of Amos Amalchus? Is Kinofik Vazel, as he's getting out, putting on his clothing, and he's leaving, Amalei, Parsheshech realizes how great Rava is, and he says to Rava, Eina deboy lemechsi lechu bishusa. Any eye that wants to seek any type of evil against either you or against Klal Yisrael, tipaka, that eye should spring out of its socket. Well, what's the pshat over here? If you look at the second line of Rashi, Eina debaya lemechsi lechu bishusa. Ayin hamisava lirois roaschem. Any eye that chas v'sholem has the desire to see evil befall you, Rava, or the Aschem is Lashon Rabbim, or Klal Yisrael, Teyoka, that eye should come out of its socket. Shirkadish Baruch Hu Mamali Kol Tavaschem Af Sichaschem Misbareres. Not only Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael, but even the Sicha B'Teila, this idle conversation that we just had for the last minute, where you were saying that we won't have the Emes of the Malchus, and I said, Dash, ma, Emes of the Malchus, I don't have any Emes Malchus, and guess what? And a second later, a minute later, the priest of the Malka comes on in. Just like Rava said, we have Emes of the Malka. I thought I have my Gantz Olam Hazeh, I gotta get dressed and leave, and go to the Melech. Anyway, so as he gave this bracha, so to speak, on Klal Yisrael, Amalei Rava immediately said, Amen! What you said, Shitaka, be true, that anybody that Chas V'Sholem wants to curse and think bad of Klal Yisrael, his ayin ra, tipaka. And guess what happens? Paka, eini de bar sheshech. On the spot, bar sheshech's eye falls out. Can you imagine? Wow, wow. So that's the end of the story. The Gemara is going to have an addendum in a moment.
That means he himself had...
He himself wanted to be bad about Klal Yisrael. 100%. So my Chushim Mechitnu, sitting here learning together with us, Ramoy Sherisil Zangizint, a tremendous Talmud Chochem, says, you see from this Gemara that Bar Sheshach, in fact, notwithstanding his niceness, he spoke beautifully towards Rava, and he says to him, oh, I give you this bracha, but really, in the depth of his heart, he was cursing Klal Yisrael, and that's why, anybody that wants to go and curse Klal Yisrael, that's him, that's Bar Sheshach, his eye, tipaka, fell out on the spot.
Why is Rava giving him a present if this guy is, bad news?
Rava hadn't learned today's daf until now, and so he didn't know that he was such bad news. This was, do you think he would have gone and barged into his house to go and see that he's in a bathtub with all of those unclothed women? Obviously he didn't know how bad Bar Sheshach was. Presumably he was a friendly neighbor, and he wanted to be neighborly, and all the rest. The art scroll brings in a footnote from Rav Tzudik HaKohen that this Gemara has much more depth than we think on the surface, and that this is really the tension between Esav and Yaakov, the Esav and Yaakov that got their brachos from Yitzchak Avinu, and Rashi already says in Chumash how they accepted the brachos and in what spirit. Esav Harosha and all of his legacy and all of his progeny, they only think of Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh. While Klal Yisrael knows that Olam Hazeh is just a pruzer, it's just a pathway to the ultimate, to the Olam Haba. And so therefore, he, Bar Sheshach, who's now representing Esav, says, can you imagine? I have all my taivas Olam Hazeh that one could possibly imagine. Look where I am and look at all these zoinos standing around me. Can you beat something like that? Says back, Rava, you are only thinking in terms of Olam Hazeh. We have a much higher didon adifa tvei mehai. We have a much greater aspiration than you do. Instead of having all of your base indulgences and taivis Olam Hazeh, we ignore all of that and we suppress our yetzahara for something which is so much more eternal and so much more great that we try to get closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have Emes of the Malchusa, you're worried about Emes of Malchus. We're not worried about Emes of the Malchusa. We're only worried about Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that worry itself exalts us because that gives us greater Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Hashem, more Dveikis in Hashem when we see Hashem's loftiness, Hashem's greatness, Hashem's holiness, and so therefore our the brachas that we got through Yaakov Avinu and through his legacy is eternal and much, much greater than the base indulgences and taivas olam hazeh that the goyim have as represented by Bar Sheshach. If you have a couple of moments, take a look at the footnotes in the art scroll. He expresses it much better than I do.
So who gave the bracha to Bar Sheshach,
this goy, this Oyvi Kachovim.
He gave a bracha to Rava that whoever curses Israel,
his eye should pop out.
Why would a goy do such a stupid thing?
he saw how the greatness of Rava that we were just talking. He asked Rava, "Is your Olam Haba greater than my Olam Hazeh?" And he says, "Yes, because look, you guys are afraid of the Melech, you're afraid of the government." And then Bar Sheshach said, I have nothing to fear from the government, I pay my taxes, I'm a good guy, I'm not afraid of anything, everything is great. And a moment later, the police officers walk in and say, pick up your hands, we're putting you in handcuffs, we're taking you to jail. So then he realized how great Rava was, not only Rava's tfilis and his brachas, even in his sichas chulin. Gemara said before, sichas chulin shel tamid chacham tzrichen limud. Tzrichen Talmud. Every Talmud Chacham says, every word is precious. If he said, you have Emes HaDamalchus, we got Emes HaDamalchus, even if we don't acknowledge it. Anyway, continuing on, this is now an addendum to the story. Omer HaPapi, Iboy Leila Memra Lei Mehaikra. When Bar Sheshach said to Rava, do you have anything like this in the Olam Haba? Instead of Rava answering about this Emes HaDamalchus, he could have given him a better answer. What's the better answer? It says in the Pasuk, B'nois Malachim Bikrei Sechon Nitzva Shegeli Mincha B'chesem Oifir. This is a Pasuk, a Nevuah, which is recited in Tehillim. And what does it say in this Pasuk? That when Olam Haba will come, B'nois Malachim Bikrei Sechon, the daughters of the kings, in other words, the princesses, will come to be mechabed you, to go and show you honor. Much, much more than a bunch of empty, no goodnik zoinois. We're going to have princesses. Not only the princess. Nitzva Shegel Imincha. Shegel is a reference to the queens. The queens, even the Goyisha queens, are going to stand up to our Imin, to our right, to show respect and honor for Klal Yisrael. Chesem Oifir, and they're going to be bedecked. They're going to wear jewelry from Oifir. Oifir was a place where you were able to go and get very valuable gold and diamonds and jewelry, similar to perhaps 47th Street, that you're able to go and get all the jewelry over there. So this beautiful princess, this beautiful queen, is going to greet Klal Yisrael, and she's going to be bedecked in the finest of jewelry as well. So that's much greater than the empty zoinos. So this is what Rava could have said. I even have a better pasuk. It says in the pasuk that we're going to get all of our rewards. What does asad lavoi look like? No eye has been able to see all of the eternal rewards that we're going to receive in Lo'olam Haba, except for Elokim Zulascha. Only the Rabbeinu Shalom alone, he is the one that knows what that reward looks like. Yasal Machakaloi, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do and give presents and rewards to those that were mechaka, those that waited for this beautiful bracha, la'asad lavai. So therefore, this is, of course, much greater than the whole Olam Hazeh. Yeah?
Besides what the Tzaddik says,
yes.
That all this may have to do also with Bilam, who supposedly gave a bracha, and he lost his eye and everything, so maybe there's a little remnant here.
To that as well.
That their brachas are not sincere, and they...
Beautiful. I don't know how many of you were able to hear that, but my Mechitin says that this may be also an allusion to Bilam, who, quote-unquote, was going and benching Klal Yisrael, Chashin Yem in the Benik, by the Esh Dominion, Zak Yeben, Zak Yizim, Tatsluch Rab, B'cholon Yunim, that this is a reference to Bilam, who, quote-unquote, was benching us, Matoivu Lecha Yaakov, Mishmarim, Ishkenesecha Yisrael, etc. And guess what else? He also, Poka Enoi, he was missing one eye. I don't know when he lost it, before or after. But maybe this is also some sort of allusion to that. Okay, so let's continue on. Says in our Mishnah, Sochroi lasis imay malacha acheres. What is this all about? Let's take a quick look at the Mishnah back on Samach Beis Amid Aleph. to refresh our memories. The Mishnah began on Samach Beis Amud Aleph at the very top. You hire a Jew, a goy hires a Jew to go and help him out, for instance, transporting barrels of Yayin Nesach from place to place. Says the Mishnah, Schori Asur, you're having Hanoh. Why is it Asur? Remember, we had a whole Shikol Torah in the Gemara. The Gemara came out because it's a Knas, Shekonsu Chachomim. Fine. But the Mishnah continues on. That Sochri Lasis Imay Mulacha Acheres. What happens if he hired him to something else? Ava Bisha Omaloi, even though he said at some point, Havali Chavishul Yayin Esach, Mimokam Mimokam, even though he didn't hire him for transporting Yayin Esach, he hired him to do Mulacha Acheres. I don't know, some office work. Or maybe he hired him as a janitor, or whatever. And then at one point he said to him, I want you to help me out with this Chavi Shayin or Yayin Nesach. Then Tzchori Mutter. Then he can go and keep the full salary that he promised him. Now the question is, why? Manishtana, what's the reason why in the Sefer he can keep the salary, if that salary, L'chayra, is also covering the transportation, the transporting of the Yayin Nesach, Mimokam Mimokam. Zokti Mar. The Alpha Gavdali Omaleli Toisei Erev. Are we talking about even though he did not say Itoisei Erev? Itoisei Erev means as night is about to begin. Question is, what are you talking about? Or many, I have a brace, which date? Asoiches Apoyel. Uli Toisei Erev Omaloi Ha'aber Chov Yishol Yayin Esach Mimokim Lemokim Schore Mutter. Person hires a poil, and as it's about to become nightfall, he says, do me a favor and transfer this Chavishu Yayin Nesach from place to place. Schori Mutti is allowed to go and keep his entire schar. Time of the Omali the Toysi Erev in Kuli Yoyim Aloy. So the way the Gemara is learning here in the Havamina, Pshat in this Brice is, for instance, he hired him from 9 to 6, 9 to 5, a full day's work, 9 to 5. It's 5 o'clock, he's about to leave, and the employer says to the employee, do me a favor, before you leave, I got some Yayin Nesach that I would like to move from place to place. Help me out with one or two of these barrels. Fine, he helps him out. After that he said, no, where are my wages? And he gives him the full salary. It's all mutter. Now why is it mutter? Because after all, this was already, if you will, overtime. This is already voluntary. He hired him from 9 to 5. Now it's Itoisi Erev. He goes by the clock. He puts something in the clock, whatever the expression is. Anyway, so the time has come, he's about to leave, and he says, do me a favor, schlep this, schlep that, even though he only pays him afterwards, but the payment is for the day work, not this Itoisi Erev work. So then the Brice said, that's fine, that's not an issue. So the Choyra, our Mishnah doesn't make that distinction. So it sounds like, not only if it's Itoisi Erev at 5 o'clock, what happens if 2 o'clock in the afternoon? He says, before you continue sweeping the room, do me a favor, let's move these couple of barrels of Yayin Nesach, Mimokim Lebokim. So it sounds like from our Mishnah, since the Mishnah doesn't distinguish, that even if it's in the middle of the day, and if this is part of his day work, and at the end of the day when he gets paid for that full day's work, L'choira, it's including the schlepping of the Yayin Nesach, why is it mutter? We send the Mishnah and the Reisha, that's Asur, what's going on? Everything more Omer Abaye, Kitanan, Masis, and Yom Letoisi, Erev Tanan, even though it doesn't mention a word, but that's what you have to explain in the Mishnah. Either amend the Mishnah and throw it in, or explain that that's what the Mishnah means. That when the Mishnah says that he can go and schlep the couple of barrels for him, it's talking about taka after hours, not during the payday, not during the workday. For the workday, he got his full salary. And that he helped him later on, that had nothing to do with his salary. That was like a favor that he was doing later in the evening. That's how Abaye learns, which of course is an easy teretz. Both the Braisa and the Mishnah are now talking about exactly the same case. During the day, it would be prohibited for him to help out with the Yayin Nesach barrels, but after the day is over, if he's helping him out, then that has nothing to do with the salary. But by the way, the Mefarshim say that he shouldn't help him out after the day is over either, because Yayin Nesach is from a tekroivis or mishamshe avodah zarah, and therefore you should stay away from it. Don't leyidbak biyorchem umem anacherim. You should have nothing to do with Yayin Nesach. The point is, what happens if he did it? Is his salary, is his wages asur b'anah? That's what our Gemara is telling us, that as long as it wasn't within the time slot where he agreed to pay him a salary for the day, $100 if he works from 9 to 5, and now he's working from 5:15 to 5:30, helping him out with those barrels. That has nothing to do with the money. He can keep the money. Whether or not he should have or shouldn't have worked with him at night, that's a separate issue. Bottom line is, it doesn't affect his salary. Rav Amar loy kasha. Had amale haveli meya chavius the meya prutois. Had amale haveli chavius be pruta. Says Rav, there's a fundamental difference between the case of our Mishnah in the case of the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about that he told him, Haverly Meya Chavyois B'meya Prutais. I have 100 barrels, and these are very heavy. I cannot do it myself. You, Yidola, come over and help me out transporting all of these Chavyois. And I'm going to pay you, package deal, 100 Prutais for the 100 Chavyois. Prutais at those days was worth more than our Prutais today. Because after all, our president has now outlawed the minting of pennies because it's not worth it. Those prutas were worth more than our pennies today. Anyway, a package deal, 100 chavias for 100 prutas. So what's the issue? Says the Braisa that we just quoted, that was quoted by, that the more quoted against the Abaye Rav over here that we're discussing. So that Braisa is talking about 100 chavias per 100 prutas. So it's all one package deal. And therefore, if among the Meya Chavyos, there's just one Chavyos, just one, that happens to be Ayin Nesach, says Rashi, Osir, he's not allowed to go and accept any money whatsoever, because this was a package deal, all 100 Chavyos for 100 Prutais. So even though one of them is Ayin Nesach, 99 were kosher wine, only one was Ayin Nesach, he's not allowed to take a penny. When can he take money if that extra chavius over and above the 100, the 100 are all kosher wine, he did that during the day, and now the Toisei Erev, after nightfall, he says to him, go and schlep one or two or more additional chavius in of Yayin Nesach that has nothing to do with the previous day where he did 100 barrels perfectly. So therefore, during the day, it's talking about 100 barrels for 100 prutas. In our Mishnah, however, he's telling him, every chavius that you schlep, you get another pruta. You take two, you get two. You get five, five. Each. So even if he only does 50 or only 80, he gets per chavius. And therefore, if one of them happens to be a Yayin Nesach chavius, no problem. He says, on that one, either don't pay me, or if he did pay him, he takes that one pruta, and he throws it into the Yam HaMelech. Let's just say quickly the Rashi. That Rashi makes this distinction. Zog Rashi b'loy kasha. See, Rashi is about a quarter down the Amud. Quarter down the Amud b'loy kasha. Masisim tarim mutzik goin havali chavis v'pruta. V'nim tis chavish o yayin nesach v'neim. He said one pruta per chavis. And then one of the chavis in hamzev yayin nesach. Shodi Prutal and Ahara. At the end of the day, if he had transported 100 chavyasin, 99 he keeps, he puts in his pocket, and one he has to throw into the Nahar Yama Melech. Inami, Loishakami Arabi Chav, the Einach Mishru. He says to the guy, oh, one of them was Yayin Nesach, keep that. I did that as a favor to you. Don't pay me. So he only takes home 99 and leaves over one with the Akum. The one chavis that was Yayin Nesach has nothing to do with the others. It's as if they made 100 separate contracts, 100 separate stipulations. One pruta per chavis. The bad chavis don't take money. The rest you can take. Ubraisa says Rashi. When he did not say Yitoisi Erev, have a kol schari osur. Even there was only one bad barrel among the 100 barrels, all the other 99 were perfect. He's not allowed to take any money. He's going to omulei haver kuf chavies bekuf prutois chol kamadli abrina lekulu. Unless and until he transports all 100 leyavle midi, it's what we would call in Hebrew a kablan as opposed to a sochir. He's not just an employee getting paid salary for the day. He's a kablan. He took upon himself to take care of all 100 chavis. Somebody asks you to go and build a house for him, and at the end of the day, you build a house, but you leave out one bedroom or one bathroom or one closet or one doorway or something. Even though you did 99% of the work, the person is going to say, that's not what we made up. We made up for a complete house. I'm not going to go and pay you until you put in every last nail and every last screw, etc., etc. So until he transports all 100 chavis in, he doesn't get a penny. Therefore, all of the rest of the salary is all dependent on that one. So therefore, major distinction between our Mishnah and the Braisa, and Ariel had a question.
We're discussing whether he's allowed to accept pay or not, but what about the underlying iser of having anything to do with, let's say, Tashmishe Abodasara, meaning how could he agree to help him out if this is stuff that's used in Abodasara?
What you're saying is beautiful. The Gemara is assuming that this individual either didn't know about this isur, or he intentionally violated the isur. And now the question is, what about the financial ramifications? So the iser is, that's already assumed before we started the Gemara. Assumed that either did it b'mezid or b'shogig, b'ones. But now the question is, what about the money? Can he keep the money? Can he not keep the money? And that's what the Gemara says. If he is being hired solely, like the Mishnah said, solely for transporting the Ayin Nesach, schori osir, nothing to talk about. If he hired him as something else, and he threw in, by the way, help me out with a couple of barrels, and one of those barrels is Yayin Nesach, then it depends on what the terms were, like the Gemara just said now. If it was per barrel, or it was for the entire Kablonis, all of 100 barrels, whether it was during the day, Litoisi Erev, etc. But you're right, the Issur remains. Frey Zuki Marvot Tanya says, Rav, and I'll even bring you a Raya from a Braisa, the first white line, where the Braisa makes that distinction. Since he said 100 chavis for 100 prutois, package deal, one yayin nesach chavis, schari asa, everything is awesome. However, chavis pruta, if each chavis was a separate deal, separate pruta, schari mutter, the other 99 are fine, and this particular one, which was the bad barrel, Not bad, every barrel has some bad apples. Here, this barrel has all bad Yayin Nesach wine. That I'm not taking money for. I don't want to get involved in that. It could be that he was over an Isser, says Ariel. But it doesn't affect the salary for the other 99 barrels. Each one is a separate contract on its own. Now, the end of the Mishnah we had, that we spoke about until now. Somebody has a question?
Sorry, it sounds a little misleading because when it says Schara Asur, it should say Havara Asur.
That's assumed. We know that what he's doing is bad, bad, bad. The question is, what happens now? Can he keep the salary? He worked painstakingly from 9 to 5. He's schwitzing from head to toe. He has to take 3 baths because he's moved these 100 barrels. That he's been over an Isser is clear. He's helped out the Avodah Zarah, the Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, the Takroidus Avodah Zarah.
For sure. Does he ever assume that Sahara is mutter? If he's doing something bad, it's like Mitzvah Baba Vera, meaning why should we ever assume that he's entitled to keep the money? He did something knowingly bad.
So I don't know if you had a chance to learn Taf Samach Beis. I know that you were in the air at that time, flying around. But the Mishnah, in fact, said if he hired him expressly for Yayin Nesach, Schorei Asur, and the Gemara said, you know why? Knas shekonzucha chomim b'Yayin Nesach. You're a bad guy. You shouldn't be helping out Yayin Nesach. If you hired yourself exclusively for that purpose, the entire salary is Asur. Throw it into the Yam HaMelech or don't take it in the first place. Here we're talking about in the Sefer, Schorei Lasis Yimam Loch Acheres. He agreed with him to go and paint the building for him, or whatever he agreed to. That's totally mutter, nothing wrong. By the way, can you go and schlep a couple of barrels for me at the same time? If those barrels were, each one of them were separate from the regular contract, for instance, in our case, he said, chavius, chavius beprutah. Each chavius would be a separate prutah. So even though he should say, I'm great at painting, but I don't transport, that's not on my resume, I don't transport yayin esech, he shouldn't have done that. However, that's unrelated to the painting job that he did earlier in the day, where he can get full salary. So we're not talking about the salary for schlepping the yayin esech barrel. Clearly, everybody agrees it's choriosi. Question is, does that infringe or undermine the salary for the other work that he's doing for him on that day?
Get, yeah, I have a question on that. So, you know, a chuchem goy figures out, he hires a yid and says, move 100 barrels, and he throws, he puts in an avodah, you know, then yayin esach, he doesn't have to pay.
So,
what about if the yid said, oh, this barrel, you know, whatever, is no good, I do 101 barrels, give me another one.
If the yid, if the, you're saying that the goy is a chuchem, then the yid has to be a chucham too, and he should go and either learn the Gemara or ask his competent Orthodox rabbi, I've been asked to go and move these barrels, can I do it? So he has to stipulate with him, I'm only taking kosher wine, I'm not going to go and schlep any yayin nesach wine.
No, this is without his knowledge.
Without his knowledge. Okay, so then he's an oinus. But now the question is, how is he getting paid? Is he getting paid as a package deal, 100 barrels, for $100, 100 prutois, or is it pruta pruta per chavius? That the Gemara says, if it happens to be 100 barrels, so then he fell in on this business because it's 100 barrels, and even if it includes one yayin esach, he loses everything. If it's per barrel, then he doesn't have to worry. If it turns out later on that there's a yayin esach barrel, just takes that money and throws it in the Yamamelech. And we continue on. The next case of the Mishnah was a soiches achamor lahavi aleh yayin esach chori asher. The Sefer is virtually identical to the Reisha. Instead of hiring a soicher, a person, he hired a chamor. And it said in the Mishnah, if the purpose of hiring the chamor was to transport yayin esach, schar is asher. However, what happens if he hired the chamor as a Uber driver? Chamor, meaning this is he's hiring the driver to go and drive him from here to Brooklyn or wherever. It says the Mishnah, if he has with him a leginoi, leginoi means a container in which he has yayin esach, not only can he, the person that's hiring the chamor, can ride on the back of the chamor, but he can also take his canteen of yayin esach with him. Freitimar husulamali, hayin reisha, isn't this, these terms are virtually identical to the reisha. In other words, they made up transportation on the chamor, they didn't talk about yayin esach. So if he happens to bring along a container of yayin esach with him, says the Mishnah, that's okay. So it's just like the ration sefer of the first case of the soicher. The tomorrow sefer tzrichalei schora leishiv aleha avu bishayniach oivik chom leginoi aleha schorei mutter. What is the chiddush? The chiddush is not in the ration part where it says that if he hired him to transport yayin esach, the schar is also. Of course, the schar is aser. Stay away from yayin esach. There's no question about that. But the seifa is that if he hired him leishiv aleha, in other words, he wants to go and sit on the back of the donkey and be transported from here to Brooklyn or wherever, even though the guy left his legina with him, he's holding it with him, and he put it on the back of the chamor with him, schar mutter, that schar is mutter. That's the chiddush that I might not have known. I would have thought, no. He's transporting the yayin esach in that leginoi. No problem. You can transport
the leginoi. What's
leginoi? Means a small container, like a canteen, like a jug that he's taking together with him. Dutimara, lememra. So what you're telling me is that the Mishnah is teaching us the lugin lav. Our Gemara says lav dina huloi suvei, or on the side the Bach changes it lav darke hula suvei. What you're telling me is that when a person normally hires a chamor, it's not normally not the derech that he takes along a container of yayin nesach wine. Is that really true? Or a mini? I'll show you from a braisa just the opposite. Hasoichas a chamor, a person hired a chamor. Soichem miniach aleh ksusoi, uleginosoi, umezoinoisif shal oisei haderech. That if a soicher hired an eiseltreiber, eiseltreiber means a donkey driver to take him from here to Brooklyn, to Boston, wherever. So besides he's going to pay him $100 a day for the transportation costs. So not only can the soicher himself go on the back of the donkey, he could take with him a change of clothing, he could take his legina, that's that small canteen of yayin nesach wine, and he can even take along enough food for the entire trip. If the trip, says Rashi, is going to take 3 days, he can take 3 days of food together with him. Anything more than that, the chamar can say, no, 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 that wasn't the deal. It's true, we made up $100 a day for the next 3 days, but you cannot go and take anything more than those basics. It's similar to, you go and buy an airplane ticket, and most of the time, unless you're talking about these very economy travels, normally one bag is included up to 50 pounds. Therefore, you don't ask any questions. One bag is fine. You want to bring two or three bags? No, then you got to go and check. Then the airline can charge you more. Here too, you have the minimum. You can go on the ride in the back of the donkey, take along a change of clothing, take along a couple of bottles of Yayin Nesach wine. You could take mezoidis for the next 3 days. Anything more than that, the chamar said, oh, no, no. Now there's too much weight. It's going to be too much of a burden for the donkey. You have to pay me another $20. Whatever. On the other hand, what happens about the chamar? Chamar is the driver himself. He can take along fuel for his donkey. He didn't have too many gas stations in those days, so he had to go and take along the food for the donkey. And mezoinus, you should always say, he could also take mezoinus per day, per deal. He cannot take 3 days, only that day. The Gemara is going to explain in a moment why. Mikan ve'elech, anything more than that. The soicher said, no, no, don't take anything more than that because you're slowing me down. You're putting so much weight on this chamar, that's why instead of, it normally would have taken 3 days, you're going to put on all of this stuff, it's going to take 4 days, and I'm going to have to pay you extra. Fine, so what do I see from this? That it was standard practice that a person took along his legina when he was traveling in the back of the chamar. So, why did you say that the reason why it's mutter to put the legina oleh, the canteen of the wine, because that's not what they made up, that was not the contract. The contract just was for him to go on the back of the chamar, and so therefore that's why schorei mutter, he can go and pay in full, and the if the chamar driver is a Jew, he could take the money in full. Well, why? You're telling me now that legina, that's part of the package. So, isn't that part of the contract? That part should be osur. How can I go and transport this yayin nesach wine? Even though that was taka the derech, that he's entitled to go and take along with him these lugin, this container of wine, mia iloy moisivle. What happens if he doesn't take it? Can he say to the chamar, we made up $100, and you know that that always includes these basics. You know what? I'm not going to go and drink anything with him, not taking any legina. Give me a discount. You can look at him, are you nuts? I'm going to give you a discount? Are you crazy? I once did that at the airport, that I had my bag. Of course, we waited in advance at home, and it turned out instead of being 50 pounds, it was only 48 pounds. So, okay, so he let it go through. The ticket agent in the airport let it through. So I said to him, my dear friend, what happens if this would be 52 pounds? Would you charge me extra? For sure, I would charge you extra. So I say, since it's only 48, maybe you give me a slight discount. If it would have been over, I'd have to pay more. Now that it's less, the airplane has to go and carry less, give me a discount. So the first time I tried that, the guy smiled at me and said, that's not the way it works over here. Sorry, can't help it. The second time I tried that, the ticket agent was even smarter than that, and he said, you have a very good point, Mr. Redder. Next time when you fly, if you have 52 pounds, tell them about today's incident that you only had 48 pounds and see whether you can negotiate based on that. That last time you gave them a freebie, they should give you also a freebie. Okay, that's a true story. But anyway, what's the point over here? What the Gemara is telling us is a standard transportation per day with a chamar is $100. You want to put your legina on, gizintahai. You don't want to take your legina, also good. But that's not part of the contract. That's a freebie. It's assumed you'll bring one. You bring it, it's fine. You don't bring it, it's also fine. It's not going to change the price. That being the case, that's why it says in our Mishnah, if the rider took along his legina, tscharoi mutter. So with this, we answer the kasha. But the Gemara wants to understand the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, unrelated to our Gemara, And that is, why in the Reisha can the traveler take 3 days food, l'mashal, and the chamar, the driver, can only take 1 day food. Hey, chidam. If there are lots of 7-Elevens around that you can go and buy food, so the chamar should say, no, don't take along 3 days food, take 1 day food, and at night you buy for tomorrow, or the next morning you buy for the next day. If they're not, how can the soicher insist that the driver only take 1 day's food? There are no 7-Elevens around. That you can find, but you got to be matriach. In this gas station, there is no 7-Eleven, but if you go 3 gas stations more, you'll find it. Avna l'avna means from station to station, or from town to town, from stop to stop. So you have to be matriach to get it. Chamar dark in the mitrach or the mizbin. After all, the chamar knows where all the grocery stores are, where all the gas stations are, all the 7-Elevens. But soich lav dark in the mitrach or the mizbin. The soich at night, he wants to go to sleep. He doesn't want to have to start running around town to try to find which grocer is still up at 9 o'clock at night and is going to sell him some food. So therefore, his derech to matriach, but not the rider, can assume that every day he can go to sleep at night peacefully and he can take along food for the entire trip. So now the Gemara tells us a story about Rav Ikka. Avud Rav Acha Bered Rav Ikka, the father of Rav Acha Bered Rav Ikka, who of course was Rav Ikka, Hava Shafach Lu Chama Le'evdi Kachot, V'ozel Mevel Lehu Mebra, V'havale Gulfi B'agra. So the Gemara tells us Rav Ikka did 2 things which on the surface seem problematic. First thing that he did was that he sold and poured wine from his gulfi. Gulfi are large barrels, what the Gemara usually calls chavias. He poured kosher wine from his chavias into their ziki. Ziki means into their smaller containers. And so he sold them wine. Number one. Number two, the ozel mebra lehu mebra. Rashi says he was in charge of the ferry of the local river, and he allowed them free passage from this side of the river to the other side of the river. All of that was included in the package that Rav Ikka worked out with these guys. Now, what did they pay him? They paid him the gulfi. You have a gulfi biagra. So Rashi explains, just like today, when you go and buy a bottle of wine in the store, you don't have that the storekeeper says, okay, I'm going to pour out the contents into your container. I'm going to keep the bottle. The bottle is included in the price, in the overhead. Here too, normally, when you're buying a barrel, you get the entire barrel with as part of the purchase. Here, however, they apparently had no cash, so they said to the seller, to Rav Ikka, you know what? Our payment will be that you can keep the barrels. Okay, but if he's going to keep the barrels, how are they going to get the contents? So they brought along their own smaller containers. So he poured the wine from his large barrel into their smaller containers. And they and their smaller containers now use the free ferry that Rav Ikka owns to go to the other side of the river. Also, Amar Leila Abaye. So some people who witnessed this went to Abaye and said, isn't Rav Ikka being oiver isurim over here? Why? Because he's receiving money for Yayin Nesach that's being transported. It smells. Amale Abaye said, nay, ki katarach be'etere katarach. Everything that he's doing is beheter. What was the heter? Because after all, the wine, as long as he owned it, it was kosher wine. He's now pouring it into their vessels, into their ziki. That's not a problem. Why is it not a problem, says Rashi? Because as long as he holds it in his gulfi, in his barrels, it's kosher wine. Even when he is pouring it into their ziki, guess what happens? Rashi says, you only get the iser when it hits the bottom of the ziki. But he has nothing to do with that. In other words, their ziki is already are containers that had bliyos, absorptions in the wall of Yayin Nesach. So when he pours the wine in, when does the wine that he's pouring in become usser? Only at the final moment that it falls into the ziki. As long as it's in his gulfi, there's no problem. So he's being matriach beheter. Freit Yomara, but I have another problem. What means roitze b'kiyumai? He wants to make sure that these ziki stay intact and they don't break. Dulay nitzteru ziki, that the ziki should not fall over and break. Because what happens then? They're all going to say, no, schnell, bring the gulfi over, which belongs to Rav Ikka, and we're going to transfer the contents of the ziki to the gulfi. That being the case, he is hoping and praying that there's not going to be any breakage, any incident from now until they get to the other side of the river. And if he's right to Pekiyumai, we said in the Gemara yesterday, that in itself is an issur, that he says, I want this Yayin Nesach to stay in existence. Evidimore the Masnim Badai. He makes up with them in advance that if their ziki break, he has no duty whatsoever to go and save it with his gulfi. His gulfi are now his, nothing to do with any potential breakage. Inami, or a slight variation on that teret, tamaisu pristiki bahadayu. They themselves brought backup containers, just in case the ziki fall apart and the wine starts flowing out. They brought along backup containers called pristiki. So therefore, he is off the hook in terms of his gulfi. He's not roitze b'kiyumai. But he's still now supplying them with free ferry services, the Katarach B'Yisura. And now that they're inside their ziki and their containers, it's now full-fledged Yayin Esach. So now he's Matriach B'Yisur, no longer B'Heter. And you said that you cannot go and be Matriach Yayin Esach B'Yisur. And for the Gemara, the Omele Lemevruye Me'ikara. What does that mean? Rashi says that a week ago, he introduced these customers to the actual ferry captain. He owned the ferry, but he didn't go and steer it and move it from place to place. Rather, he had a goy who was the sapan. He was the sailor. He was the captain of the ferry. So already a week ago, he introduced them and he said, you see these fellows over here? Anytime they come within the next week, they want to go to the other side of the ferry, take them for free. It's on me. Don't charge them any money. Or a similar teretz, inami the nekita bei kitri. He didn't have them meet with him, with the sapan, with the sailor, the captain in advance, but rather he gave them tickets. The Gemara refers to it as kitri. Rashi says ksharim, a simon he gave them, so that when the sapan wants to charge him for the ferry, they'll say, "Hey, we got free tickets over here. Okay, you can go across." How does this answer the kasha? Says Rashi. Because this took place before the wine was dispensed from his gulfi into the ziki. So at that time, the wine was totally kosher wine. So he was not matriach b'isser. This is a tircha b'heter. He made up free services, free ferry services, when it was still kosher wine. So therefore, it's not that he's getting schar for isser. And that's why Abaye said, Rav Ikka, what he did was okay, both from the sale point of view, as well as from the transportation point of view, mutalach, mutalach. We start a new Mishnah. The Mishnah is very... Yes, Ariel.
I'm a little lost as to how can he sell them the wine from the onset if he knows that they're going to be using it for Avodah Zara or Nesach?
There is no din of Lifnei Iver when you're talking about Yayin Nesach. Lifnei Iver, first of all, is from one Jew to another Jew. And number two, if I know for sure he's going to be menasechit, it's a different story. Here I'm supplying with wine. The wine gets a status of yayin nesach, which means it's osur b'shtia, osur bano. That's not that I know. It's not that the goyim told him, we're buying wine from you because tomorrow we're going to the church and we need the wine for libations. Could very well be they're going to go and drink the wine at some sort of super party that they're having that night. So if you knew for a fact they're going to go and do it, you're right. And you have a Lifnei Iver issue, certainly by Yidin, but even by Goyim, by Avodah Zarah. But here we're talking about that he's just selling them wine. It gets the status of Yayin Nesach because they're now in the Yayin Nesach Kalim that belonged to the Goyim from before. Zok the Mishnah. Very simple Mishnah. Yayin Nesach Shenofel Al Gabi Anovim. I have a cluster of grapes, and guess what happened? By accident, some Yayin Nesach spilled on the grapes. Do you say, oi, it's treifa now, throw out the grapes? No, Yadichan, just rinse them in cold water, then mutareis. However, if there were splits in the outside shell of the grapes, then asurais, because then the Yayin Nesach gets inside the grapes, and that as is the grapes. If it's just on the outside of the grapes, and the grapes are whole, okay, it's like falling into the mud. Just rinse them off, and they're kosher. However, if they have a split in it, then it's awesome. Similarly, nofala gabi te'enim oi gabi t'morim. When am the ayin nesach spilled out on figs or on dates? And yesh ben benoysen tam osir. Here, after you rinse them off, what happens? You now take a bite out of the te'enu or the tamar, and say, I feel some wine. Oh, then it's awesome. By grapes, we didn't say that, because the assumption is that grapes and wine are both from the grape family, so it's like matzah minis mina, you wouldn't be able to go and tell that wine spilled on it. But te'enim or t'morim, obviously, that's not from the grape family. It's not from the wine family. If you can taste it, osir. It doesn't become bottle b'shishim because it's nois and tam. If you don't taste it, eat your ta'anim, eat your tomorrow. And then the Mishnah tells us a ma'aser b'baisis benzunin. A ma'aser with this individual baisis benzunin. Shehevi groy grois v'sfina. He was transporting groy grois. Groy grois are dried out figs. Right? Rashi says ta'anim yivashim, dried out figs. And what happens? And wine spilled on him. And ishtabri chob yishul yayin nesach v'nofal al gabayim. V'shol lechacham, he asked lechacham v'tiram, and they said, mutalach, mutalach. And the Gemara starts off immediately, I don't understand what you're talking about. You just started off by saying, if there's no yisim tam, it's awesome. And now you bring a ma'aser, where you're saying that it's mutter. You know, make up your mind. Is it awesome? Is it mutter? Gemara will discuss that momentarily. Zehaklal, this is the general rule. If it gives a nesines tam, b'hanoa, in other words, that it improves or it helps the product, then it's awesome. Is mutter. However, if as a result of the spilling of the wine, it spoils it, it doesn't help it, it spoils it, it's like a noisim tam lefgam, if you will, it's mutter. Give me an example, if you have vinegar, shenofel agabi grease, and that falls on beans, and some of that vinegar gives a tam to the beans, when you eat that beans, it's like, I'm sure all of you have eaten cholent from time to time, especially on Shabbos morning. If you ever have vinegar spilling into your cholent, are you going to want to eat from that cholent? You're going to, yeah. If the vinegar falls on your salad as a salad dressing, lots of people like that. I don't know if you like it or not, but lots of people do. But nobody likes vinegar in their cholent. So if vinegar falls on the grease in, you don't have to worry. And of course, we're talking about choymitz that was originally yayin nesach. Then it's mutalach, because it's not a noisin tam lishvach. It's a nois and tam lefka. So let's get back to the Mishnah. We said in the middle of the Mishnah that if the yayin nesach fell onto einim or tamarim, if it has a good nois and tam taste, it's osir. And then we said, but if the chavius falls on the on groy grois, it was mutter, mutter, mutter. Frey tamar masa listar. Aren't you contradicting yourself within the same sentence, within the same breath? You have to add one line of text to the Mishnah. When do I say that it is osur if it's nois and tam lishvach, that when you eat these te'enim or tamarim, you feel the wine taste? Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, I've never had figs and dates that taste so good. You know, from now on, I'm going to tell my wife, go and always soak them in a little bit of wine. It really tastes good. However, in nois and tam lefgam, if it spoils it, then it's mutter. Now you're talking about dried figs. Apparently what the Mishnah is telling us is, if you have new, brand new, fresh figs, fresh tomorrow and fresh dates, and you want to keep them fresh, you'll sprinkle some water, or in our case, some wine on them, and that'll keep it moist and fresh. I'm a chaya, nois and tam lishvach. But if you have dried out figs, groy grois, that's the furthest thing from your mind. You want it to remain dry. If you're going to go and start pouring liquids on it, it's going to get soggy. Nobody will want to eat it. They'll say, yeah, these groy grois, instead of being nice, good, dried out fruit, they have all this moisture on it. Oh, because that it's nois and tam lefgam, but maisam nechachom and beitirim, therefore they said that it's mutalach, no problem. We have simile now, says Gemara, hahu kri. Here a kri means a heap, but in our case it means a heap of chitim of tvua, wheat. Hahu kri the chiti, a heap of wheat, spilled onto these chitim. Rabbi says it's mutaba. No, you're allowed to go and sell it to goyim, even though it got full of this yayin nesach. We're going to talk about all the aspects of this as the Gemara continues. How can you be matter this these chitim to sell to yayin to the goyim? Aye, beg it over by kilayim. Harizeloyim karen aloy v'kachavu. V'lo yasen amidas lechamor. Aval oisit tachrich alameis mitzvah. What is this all about? So the Gemara yet. If you have a beged, shoved by kilayim, in other words, that you have a couple of strands or threads of shatness, don't sell it to a goy. Now, what's the problem of selling to a goy? A goy is allowed to wear shatness. It's not, you know, sheva mitzvah b'nei noyach. So the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment that the reason is because if a Jew sees that I, a Jew, sell this beged that has in it shatness to a goy, and then the goy is going to want it, he's a, let's say, a wholesaler. I'm sorry, the first Jew is a wholesaler. The goy is a retailer. And now he wants to retail it to a yid. The yid is going to ask him, where did you get this beged from? Don't you know I got it from Yankel Goldberg, the Erlich Yid? Oh, I'm sure there's no shatness in it, because if Yankel Goldberg has a beged and he sold to you, it must be super kosher. That's why don't sell it to a goy, because we're afraid that a Jew will buy it from him and he'll know the yichus and he'll even pay more because Yankel Goldberg was the originator of that beged. Fully asena midas lechamar. Also, don't put any shatness into the midas. That means into the saddle of a chamar, because the saddle of a chamar, once in a while, if you get a hole in one of your articles of clothing, you might cut a patch from the midas and put it on and sew it on to your clothing, and that midas, that saddle has in it some shatness. You don't even realize. Whoever thought for a moment that you'd have shatness in a saddle on a chamar. So therefore, don't put it into the midas because of that concern. You're allowed to go and have a beged of shatness for meis mitzvah, because meis mitzvah is osur banor. You can only give it to the meis. You can't go and take it away. And the meis himself is dead. He's chofshi min ha mitzvois. He no longer has any mitzvahs. So he's allowed to go and wear shatness, no problem. What's the reason why you cannot go and sell a beged with shatness to a goy? Because he might do a resale to a Jew. So tomorrow, let's get back to our chitim over here. You're telling me, Rava, you're allowed to go and sell the chitim that became immersed in the Yayin Nesach to a goy. What happens if this goy afterwards resells these chitim to a Jew, and the Jew's going to tell me, where did you get these chitim from? I got it from Yankel Goldberg, the Erlich Yid. So he's going to go and buy it without any difficulty. Oh, but he doesn't know that these chitim were immersed in the Yayin Nesach, and therefore they're also to eat. Ay, ay, ay. So why did you say the same thing over here? Just like you can't go and sell the beggar that has in it shatness to the goy because of the resale possibility, don't sell the chitim of the Yayin Nesach to the goy because of the resale possibility. Hochanami also is one of the Israel. After that, apparently Rava changed his mind, and Rava said, you know what? What you can do is take these chitim, do a tchina. Tchina means go and grind them into flour. And let the yid go and bake them. And he's going to sell it to a goy shaloi b'fnei Yisrael, when there's no Yisrael present. So no Yisrael knows that these breads originally were baked by the yid. They now are in the hands of the goy. When the goy wants to sell the bread, guess what? Nobody's going to buy it, because you can't go and buy pas akum. Therefore, says Imar, I don't have a problem.
Say that. Yeah.
Okay, so remember, there are two dinam. There's something known as pas palter, and there's something known as pas akum. Pas palter means that you're selling it commercially in a store. Pas akum means that you're selling it privately from your home. You cannot buy pas akum from a home, because just like you can't go and buy their yayin, I'm worried about chasnus. Same thing applies to private pas. Pas palter already, that's already a machloikas we had in the Gemara before, whether you can be matir pas palter, yes or no. So the easy answer over here is not talking about pas palter, it's talking about private pas akum from his home, not selling it commercially. Everybody agrees that that's awesome. So no yid is going to go and buy it. And even if you're telling me that we're talking about a palter, it's talking about those mekoymos where they were makbid not to buy past palter. So therefore, says Rav, no problem. Nobody's going to go and even think of going into this non-kosher bakery because it's palter. Therefore, that was the heter of Rav to sell it to a guy either for private consumption or sale from his home, or by paspalt in that mokim where nobody bought paspalt. Zokti Mora, how did Rav, why are we even talking about this? Let's go back to our Mishnah. Just rinse it off and become mutter. If they have a split, only because it's a split. Otherwise, you're allowed to go and sell it. So what's the problem in selling? Perhaps one can even eat from these chitin, because after all, our Mishnah wasn't talking about selling. It was saying, take the anovim, rinse them off, and you can go and eat them, you can drink them, you can sell them, because you took away the iser, right? You had some yai nesach, mud fell on it, you rinsed it off, you can eat it. So over here, take the chitim, rinse it under some cold water, why can't you eat it? Amrapa b'shani chiti hoyba agav tzirayu kimavukoyiz damyon, says Rapapa, you, Chevra, don't understand what wheat, standing wheat, the wheat kernels look like. Take a good, good look, and you'll see that there's tzirayu. Rashi says, sedek shemachitim. In every kernel of wheat, in the middle, there is a small little hole, similar in a sense to most trees that have these knots in the middle of the tree. Here too you have such a hole in the chitim, and therefore the yayin nesach can seep in, just like by the grapes, if they have a split, the yayin seeps in. Here too it seeps into the chitim. Therefore you cannot eat it or drink from it, because you have the yayin nesach in it. Most that you can do is you can go and sell it to the goy, like Rava said, by doing a tchina, so the goy will keep it for himself, and he's not going to sell it to a fellow, to a Jew.
Rabbeinu, I have a question.
Okay, before you get to the question, I just want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and Zayin Zin.